This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. Brothers and sisters, I want to give you some of my reflections on death, inshallah. And the first reflection is that death, I know this is obvious, but it's quite critical to understand that death happens to everyone. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, كُلُّ نَفْسٍ دَائِقَةَ الْمَوْتِ. Every soul is going to taste death. Take Musa alayhi salam, for example, one of the best prophets. Musa alayhi salam, who split the sea with his staff by the will and mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who dealt with the tyrant Fir'aun. Musa alayhi salam, even he died. Take for example Yusuf alayhi salam, one of the most amazing prophets and an amazing story for those who reflect and seek the truth. He had three major calamities. He was put in the well, in the darkness of a very deep well. He had the fitna, the calamity of the seduction of the wife of Al-Aziz. He was in the prison for many years, put there unjustly. But yet, he survived and he overcame these things with forgiveness, with patience, and because he was of the, as the Quran says, of the muhsinun. He was a noble character. Yet Allah took his life away as well. Take for example Ibrahim alayhi salam, the friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the father of the believers. Ibrahim alayhi salam, he also had to die. And look at Ibrahim alayhi salam when he was told to slaughter his son. And the amazing thing about Ibrahim alayhi salam, he didn't look at the command. He looked at the one who commanded it. And that's how you must be a character with pure tawheed, with a pure oneness in your heart. But nowadays, what do? It doesn't sound right. God really said that? Is that a hadith? Nah, it must be weak. Yeah? Is that an ayah of the Quran? Because what we do, we think we must be the commander and the commands must be in line with our limited perspective. But look at the lesson from Ibrahim alayhi salam. He was willing to slaughter his son because he knew the command came from Al-Qudus, the holy, the perfect. Al-Rahman, the merciful, the compassionate. Al-Wudud, the loving. Al-Hakim, the wise. So he knew the command was a derivative of the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore this command can never be unjust. So he did it. And Allah replaced his son with something else. Which shows, if you really follow the commands of Allah, Allah will make it easy for you. Just like it made it easy for Ibrahim alayhi salam. But yet, Allah took the life away of Ibrahim alayhi salam. So the point here is, everyone goes. Even the best people that we read about, the best blessed prophets who took footsteps on this planet, on this earth, they had to go. Even the tyrants, like Gaddafi, and the other tyrant that's not yet dead, but he'll die too. What's his name? The dog. I mean, Assad. And he is a dog. Actually, that's an insult to dogs. He's a criminal. Because these dogs fulfill their own natures. But human beings, sometimes we don't fulfill our own natures, do we? Sometimes we go away from the fitrah, from the natural path. So this evil tyrant, he's going to go too. And that's why the concept of death actually diminishes the ego. Who are you? What are you? You think you're going to be here forever? You think you're going to get away with all your murder and your facade and your fitna? You're going to become one buffet as well. You're going to taste death. You're going to meet your Lord. And that's one of the beautiful signs of death itself. That no matter what happens in your life, things are going to be solved. Yes. The atrocities done by Gaddafi, the atrocities done by Assad, the atrocities done by any tyrant, they will face justice because they're going to die too. They're no different from me and you. They're a rearrangement of molecules. They're no different from me. They don't have three legs and three arms. They're still going to die. Take Alexander the Great, one of the greatest leaders in the Greco Empire. take his death as a sign. Some academics said that he died from malaria, from a mosquito bite. So don't belittle anything small. Try sleeping with a mosquito in the room. And you know a small thing can really mess you up. And it's true. And it just shows, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing to us, this guy thinks he was so great. He went all the way to Afghanistan, even married an Afghani, right? Alexander the Great. He was supposed to be the great, but look, he died from a mosquito bite. He's going to taste death too. So the point here is, everybody's going to taste death. As Allah says in the Quran, in chapter 4, verse 78, whosoever you may be, death will overtake you, even if the fortress is built high, strong and high. So it's a guarantee, brothers and sisters. It's more of a guarantee than the love of your mother, death. As they say in Britain, there's two things you can guarantee, and that's death and taxes, right? So brothers and sisters, think about when you're like 15 years old, or 20 years old, or 8 years old. Like, I'm 33 years old now. It was just yesterday I was 18. Yesterday I was 8. Yesterday I was like 4, right? Honestly. Oh, sometimes I act like 4, but that's a different story, right? But the point is, it was just yesterday. Some of you are mothers now. Some of you are auntie G's, right? Some of you are grandfathers. Some of you are aspiring fathers, right? The point is, just yesterday, who were we and what were we? Time flies so fast. And this is why when you reflect on death, it actually allows you to take a conscious picture within your psyche and your consciousness to realize, subhanAllah, this life is so transient. It's so ephemeral. It's so like almost empty. It's so like almost worthless if you just reflect on your past. You could summarize your entire 30 years in just one memory, right? So death itself makes us realize that actually we have to be conscious of every present moment, because sometimes we're always living in the past, brothers and sisters. And this is the spiritual reflection on death. Because thinking that we're going to be eternal means that we always don't take consciously within ourselves our limited life, that we're not going to be here for a long time. And the moment you realize that you're not going to be here is the moment that the ego diminishes. And it is the moment that you don't take the past seriously anymore. Because one of the biggest problems in the Muslim community is we don't adopt the Quranic verse when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Baqarah verse 30, He talks to the angels. And He says He's going to send down a vicegerent on the earth, Adam alayhi salam. And what do the angels say? Hold on a second. You sure? This guy's going to spill blood? Chaos, fitna, facade. Because the angels, as the Mufassirun, they talk about, there was something before them, some ulama say it was jinn or whatever the case may be, that was spreading mischief and bloodshed on earth. So the angels are looking at the past to judge the present. What does Allah say? I know that which you don't know. I know that which you don't know. Allah has the totality of wisdom and knowledge. We have its particular, we have a pixel. Allah has the picture, we have the pixel. So by realizing our death, our limited nature, our transient nature, we will be able to understand that, you know what? Life's too short to live in the past all the time. And let's take lesson from the angels that we don't keep on referring to the past to inform our present, because our life will be one big circle, right? Isn't that what happens sometimes? Our life is one big circle. Because we always refer to the past to understand our present and to inform our future. So if you're always referring to the limited past and your negative experiences, life is going to be one big roller coaster in a circle. And this is why, brothers and sisters, some of our relationships with our family members and with other people are very negative, because we think the past is qati, it's definite. We think the past is wahi, it's like revelation. We think it's the only way things can happen, because she was always like this, and she always said that to me, and she always used to say things like this, therefore she's going to do it now. So how are you going to forgive? How are you going to move forward? You know, we have three filing cabinets. The filing cabinet of the past, the one of the present, and one of the future. And what we do, we take the filing stuff, papers in the filing cabinet of the past, and we put it into the future. So we're never living the present, we're always living the future through the past. It's one big joke, honestly. Let me give you a story. Who likes stories? Put your hand up. Good boy. Let me tell you this story. I used to work for an American military company, Northrop Grumman. And in the office, we used to have a kitchenette, and I used to love tea. I love tea, I love coffee. So I'd go and I used to drink rose puchong. It's roasted tea leaves over rose petals. It's romantic, right? So I would be going to the kitchenette area, and I would see my friends John and Paul, and they'll be whispering. So I'm walking up, and they're whispering. I'm like, I have self-confidence. I'm an alpha male. No problem, right? So I go back. I finish my tea. The next time I go to the kitchenette for more tea or coffee, I see them there again. And then they stop when I approach. I'm thinking, that's cool. It's cool. Maybe they have a relationship. You know, it's the 21st century. God knows what's happening these days. The next day, I do the same thing. I walk up and I see them looking at me, whispering. I come closer. They stop whispering. That happens nearly every day for about 10 days. And now I'm creating a drama. I'm like, okay. That John, he's a scumbag. I remember when I said I got a pay rise, his face changed color. Something was stuck in his throat. He's jealous. And I know Paul, he used to stab me in the back when we used to be in high school together because I used to do silly things and he used to be jealous, right? And my father, when I was 7, he said those things to me too, that people are always going to be jealous of me and you always have to be like this. And then I remember my uncle, he used to be the same thing with my father, and it's part of my family history. And I used to go really crazy, and these guys are jealous, and I'm Greek, I'm supposed to be European, but I look Desi and they're racist. And I was getting mad, I was getting all crazy, I was creating a big huge drama. Then after I meet my line manager, I'm a Greek, we break plates at weddings, so I hit my hand on the table, I said, you guys are racist scumbags, I go crazy, I swear, I cry, I get fired. So I get fired, right? So what happens after a few days? After a few days, I receive an email from John and Paul, right? And John and Paul say, we just wanted to let you know that we were planning your birthday party. Now that's not a true story. But... What a rollercoaster of emotions. Right. But it is a true story for all of our lives. And I want to give you something very personal now after the funny side. My father, right? Now this is very personal. And it makes you understand how death gives you spiritual solutions, reflecting upon death. When I first converted, I converted to Islam, by the way, right? When I converted to Islam around 11 years ago, I had a huge spiritual, social, psychological dilemma. My dad was my hero, okay? My dad never stepped on anybody's back to be successful. In actual fact, he was very unsuccessful because he didn't cheat. My dad would stay awake for other people to sleep. My father would be in debt for other people to have money. We used to eat potatoes for 2 weeks just for his workers to feed their families, right? This is my father, and he's not even Muslim, right? My dad would basically humiliate himself to honor others. Okay? This is my father. Okay? So he was my hero. The minute I adopt Islam as a tradition and as a worldview, I'm thinking, well, my dad can't be my hero anymore because he's supposed to be Muslim if he's so good, right? So I had these issues. So internally what happened? I became arrogant. I became egotistical. I became nasty. So what, I spent 6 years making my dad feel small. I used to pick on all of his small points because psychologically I had this kind of dilemma. Dad, you do these mistakes, it's all your fault. You do this, you do that, you do this. I was like in his face, right? Arguing to the point where my dad almost couldn't take it anymore. He'd run to the garden and say, is this how Islam teaches you to treat your father? So one day I went on this psychological course. And they really make you feel like an absolute piece of poo, right? And reflecting on my limited nature and death itself, that's what death does, the penny dropped. And I realized for 6 years, I was making my dad feel like an incompetent human being. So in this psychological few days, you have to pick up the phone and actually express yourself. And me, ask my family. Anyone close to me? I'm like a stranger to them. I don't express myself, right? I have this difficulty. I don't know why. It's an alpha male Greek thing. God knows, yeah? So I picked up the phone. I called my dad. He was in Greece taking care of his father because he had to nurse him because his father was very unwell. And I picked up the phone. I said, Baba, I just want to let you know something. I want to let you know that I know you love me. And not only do I know that you love me, but you're still my hero. And I want to let you know that although we differ in some beliefs, that you'll always be my hero. Because the things that you do and have done is because you love me. And I want to let you know that I've used your mistakes just to support my limited perspective and to enhance my own arrogance and ego. And I want to let you know that you're a great grandfather and that you're a great father. And then he was crying. He was crying for 15 minutes, and my dad, he doesn't cry. And then he called my mother in the evening and said he feels like a complete father, and now he's ready to die. And after, since that day, our relationship is fantastic, to the point where he believes that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a prophet. Yeah, he doesn't believe in the shirk of Orthodox Greek Christianity, so he's very close. Please make dua for him. The lesson here is that death and reflecting upon it allows you to reflect on your own ego, to think, SubhanAllah, I'm going to die. I'm going to become a nobody. I'm going to face Allah. So I need to fix my relationships. And I guarantee you, brothers and sisters, you all have problems in your family. I've been around, okay? I'm married to a Desi family. I know what's going on in your Desi families, right? Yeah? It's not all hunky-dory, rosy Bollywood, right? It's, you know, gabigushi gabigam, right? Sometimes sadness, sometimes happiness. So the point is, I want you to go home. I want you to promise yourself that you're going to fix some relationships. You're going to say to Auntie G, you know what, Auntie G, although you're harsh to me, you never give me gifts, but you give them to somebody else. I know you think, you say I look ugly all the time, but you know what? I love you. I love you. I don't need you to love me. And I'm going to continue to love you even if you don't love me. If I've done anything wrong, I'm sorry and you're better than me. I'm telling you, you do that to your auntie, you change the power dynamics of the relationship. She'll break down. She'll tell you why, what's going on. She'll cry. Your relationships will change. You need to take power. You know, so many sisters used to come up to me in course and say, my father doesn't love me. My mother doesn't love me. There's no love at home. There's no rahmah at home. You know what I say to her? When was the last time you told your parents you love them? Never. So it's your fault too. We all have the power to change the dynamics of relations at home. And we just have to reflect on death. It will make us realize to make that change. So who cares if they slandered you or big backbeat you? Who cares? Who are you anyway? We're just a small piece of rearrangement of carbon in this immense universe. Who are you? Come on, we're Muslim here. We're supposed to be humble. We're supposed to be humble. Who cares if they slandered me? Who cares? Who cares? You don't do mistakes before? You don't want Allah to forgive you? You don't want Allah to forgive others. You're supposed to be people of rahmah. Overlook and forgive. Reflecting on death facilitates the process of diminishing the ego so you could experience that awareness. Do it, brothers and sisters. So what if your father's never said he's loved you? You think he doesn't love you? Are you stupid? You think he'd be around for that long? You think he'd be working so hard? Maybe he's got an expression problem. Well, I appreciate that and just talk to him. Say, Baba, I know you love me. Give him a kiss. He might hate it for a while, but trust me, it'll work. You know, there's one sister, right? One sister got married to this brother. And her father wasn't happy with the marriage, but he let it happen. And her father had huge issues with it. And he was a typical kind of mountain Desi from Kashmir, big beard, you know, loves his sons, ignores his daughters. They're invisible almost, right? Unfortunate cultural experience. And what happened was, I gave advice to that sister and said, write your father a letter. Tell him what's good about him. Tell him why you respect him, honor him, and love him. Tell him all these things. So she was outpouring continuously. I'm telling you, he read the letter. He was crying for 3 days. 3 days. He took her back into the house. They did ruksati. He blessed the marriage. Everything was fine. She took power. She took control. Reflect on death. Diminish your ego. Take power. Change relationships. So, homework. Every single one of you write a letter to someone that you hate. And you tell them why you should love them and tell them why they're good and great. And tell them your faults. I'm telling you. Bas chupkar. Listen. I'm telling you, this is a serious moment. You need to take back the power of your relationships, brothers and sisters. And this is all based on tadabbur of Quran, when the angels thought that Allah was going to send down someone that's going to create calamity and chaos and bloodshed. So please, this death, wallahi, reflecting on it properly, gives you so many spiritual insights. The next reflection. Sisters, please. Oh, sorry, yes, of course. I do apologize. He is obviously not a sister. Okay, good. So what was the other reflection? Right, the other reflection is, brothers and sisters, is take the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam when he told us to reflect on death. Narrated by Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, which can be found in Tirmidhi. He said, remember frequently the thing that cuts off pleasures, and this thing is death itself. So as we just discussed, reflecting on death is a spiritual mechanism to diminish the ego, which facilitates a conscious awareness of who you really are, how you should interact with others, interact with yourself, and interact with your whole life, brothers and sisters. The other reflection on death, brothers and sisters, that makes you realize the purpose in life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran in chapter 67, Allah is He who created death and life to test you as to which of you is best indeed. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, did you think that we created you in play without any purpose and that you will not be brought back to us? So from this perspective, it makes us realize our real purpose. It gives us a priority in our own life. Because when you reflect on death, you know that it's not just the end, it's actually a transition, the beginning to an eternity. And brothers and sisters, what is eternity? Sometimes we think of it like the symbol for the infinite, or we think it's a very long time. No, let me tell you what eternity is. Imagine I'm on a desert island, and all around me is an infinite ocean. I have a bucket and a spoon. I dip my spoon into the ocean, and I empty it into the bucket. And then I wait 1,000 years. Then I get the spoon again, dip into the ocean, empty it into the bucket. Then I wait 1,000 years. I take my spoon, dip it into the ocean, empty it into the bucket. And then I wait 1,000 years. Then I dip into... Do you see the point? This brings it home. It makes you realize that this life itself is so ephemeral and empty. It should create a launching pad in your soul where your spirit projects itself into the reflection of what is really a priority in life. And that priority is to fulfill your ultimate purpose. So don't be like the one who was told by their king to collect some wheat, but when the king checked after a year, you were devouring honey. Don't be like the pen whose purpose to write yet has no ink, and therefore you just become discarded and thrown away. Don't be like the most expensive car in the world, the Bugatti Veyron, £2 million, but yet it has no engine. Don't be like people playing soccer and there are no goals. Don't be like the ruh, the soul, without knowing and worshipping its Lord. Don't make a mockery of your soul, brothers and sisters, to the point where Allah says that those who forgot Allah, Allah will make them forget their own selves. So death itself is like a window of opportunity when we reflect upon it, to make us realize what is our ultimate purpose. Brothers and sisters, our ultimate purpose is not to make money. Wallahi, you guys are the richest people in the planet. We are the most ungrateful people in the planet. I'm telling you, you're in the top 5% in the world. You know, before I turned Muslim, I was so embarrassed to ask Allah for anything. Wallahi, I was embarrassed. I could not make a dua and say, Allah, give me this. I know that's wrong, because Allah is al-Razzaq. He's bountiful. He has infinite bounty. He loves you to ask. But that was my state of being, because that's how I was brought up. Because I realized the minute you have just food, shelter and clothing, you're a king. You know, to be defined as kingly at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it was that you had honey on the table and access to running water. That was defined as kingly. Subhanallah, not only do you have running water, you have hot water. You have some jacuzzis. You have not only honey, but you have different types of food. Bindi gosht. Yeah? This is my favorite, by the way. You have Different types of lamb, curries, meat. SubhanAllah, if you don't have meat in a desi home one evening, there's probably going to be divorce at home. I'm telling you. That's it. Khalas, marriage over. No meat, no marriage. Yeah? But I'm saying this for you to reflect very carefully, brothers and sisters, because we need to realize that we need to be in a constant state of gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of thankfulness, because we are so blessed. The moment you even have a car, the moment you have more than one hijab, the moment you have more than one t-shirt, is the moment you're in the top 5% of the world. And I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, wallahi, reflect on the life of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In a hadith in Shama'il Tirmidhi, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, oh, what a wonderful curry vinegar is. SubhanAllah, he should dip his bread in vinegar. In vinegar. Sometimes there was no smoke coming out of the house of Aisha radiallahu anha for 6 months. The prophetic diet would be water and dates. Brothers and sisters, I'm telling you, you guys are kingly. You have everything. We have everything. So don't think life is about building on the everything that you have. Life is about realizing how grateful you should be, how close you must come to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah has created a hole in a metaphorical way in everybody's heart, everyone's heart. And we think, brothers and sisters, that we should fill that hole with maybe a wife, or a car, or a new job, or a new hobby, or an ideology, or friends, or money, or materialism. But every time we try and fill that hole in our heart with those things, there's always going to be another hole. Wallahi, take it from my life. I converted to Islam 11 years ago. The only sakina I get is when I'm in sajda. I'm telling you, anytime I'm in a constant state of anxiety. Honestly, brothers and sisters, wake up. Because the only thing that could fill that hole in your heart is the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because your heart was created for that purpose. That is raison d'etre, that is reason for existence. Fill that hole with Allah. And wallahi, once you have Allah here, you'll have the dunya in your hand. But once you have the dunya in your heart, you'll have nothing in your hands. Be content. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, true richness is not having wealth, is the richness of the soul. So don't make a mockery of yourselves. Reflect on your purpose in life, and also death allows you to do. Also, brothers and sisters, take a beautiful story from our pious generation. And this, especially for the sisters. It is reported that Aisha radiallahu anha spoke to her co-wife. And this is the story. Habiba called for me on her deathbed and she said, there used to occur between us the kinds of things that happen between co-wives. So may Allah forgive me and you those things. I said, may Allah forgive you all those things and release you from all liability for that. She replied, you have made me happy. May Allah make you happy. And she sent for Salama. I said the same things to her. Brothers and sisters, on her deathbed, on our deathbeds, we realize that the ego must be diminished in order for us to connect with others in a way that Allah wants to connect with others. And take this as a metaphor. We don't have to be in our deathbeds. Because when we imaginatively reflect upon death, we can imagine our deathbed every day. And once we do that, we'll be in a conscious state of experience where our egos will be slowly diminishing. And we realize that the things that we were so upset about, and the things that we were so sad about, and the things that we were angry with others about, actually are meaningless in the grand scheme of things. So brothers and sisters, I'm going to finally end with some hadiths and some statements of the mentality of our pious generation. Ibn Umar, radiallahu anhu, used to say, in the evening, do not anticipate the morning. And in the morning, do not anticipate the evening. Take from your health for your illness and from your life for your death. It is reported by Al-Hasan Al-Basri, Allah have mercy on him. He said, how strange is it that a people whose departure from this world to the next has been announced, Because we know our death is already set. And whose predecessors already departed, but yet they still play around. Two final things. Actually, one final thing. I want to basically read to you, brothers and sisters, the last sermon of the Caliph Umar ibn Abdul Aziz. And it's quite a moving statement. And I'm going to end with this, because we've spoken about how reflecting on death makes you realize your purpose in life. Reflecting on death diminishes the ego and helps you solve spiritual and social problems in your life. Makes you understand the relationship you must have with others and with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also your priority and goal in life, which is to worship Allah. So let's just end with the words of Umar ibn Abdul Aziz. He praised Allah and said, "You were not created in vain, nor will you be left without purpose. Verily, you have an appointed time in which Allah the Most High will come down to judge you. Wretched and ruined will be he who leaves the mercy of Allah and is denied a garden whose width is that of the heavens and the earth. Know you not that no one will be safe tomorrow, save except one who is wary of today and fears it, and sells the transitory for what will remain, and the little for the plenty, and fear in exchange for security in the hereafter. See you not that you are in the loins of the dead, to be taken by those who remain after you, until all matters return to the best of inheritors. Every day in the funerals you accompany those returning to Allah, the mighty and sublime, having spent their time, until you hide them in a crevice in the ground, in the belly of a bare and unfurnished hole, having parted from their loved ones, stroking the dirt and facing their accounts. Now, they are dependent on their deeds, free of what they left behind, in need of the deeds they put before them. So be conscious of Allah. Fear Allah before the time He appointed is upon you and death descends upon you. This is what I have to say." He then lifted the edge of his garment over his face and he wept profusely and made everyone around him weep. Brothers and sisters and friends, sometimes we say, why does a loving and merciful Lord send some people to hell? And I think, brothers and sisters, that's an ill-founded question. I think the question should be, why do we choose hell over a loving and merciful Lord? And hopefully death will make you appreciate that. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you and be of those who reflect on death and allow it to be a means to consciously create an awareness within you to diminish that ego, that nafs, which always wants to be right and never wants to be wrong and always wants to impose itself on others. Once we get that right, inshallah, our relations will change, our relationships with ourselves will change, and our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will change, and we'll prioritize our life effectively. And don't forget your homework. Write that letter. Assalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.